Welcome to the Research Data Alliance Data Streams podcast series, a place where researchers, scientists, and data professionals share their experiences of working together in the global Research Data Alliance community to address and solve the challenges of sharing and managing research data. My name is Stephanie Hagstrom, and I am the Director of Community Development at the RDA US and the host of this podcast series. Today, we will hear from members of one of the newest RDA groups, the National PID Strategies Working Group. We'll hear about the working group activities, what their motivation was to start this group, what challenges and potential impacts they will address, what outputs they have planned, and how you can get involved. I am joined by two of the co-chairs of this group, Natasha Simons from the Australia Research Data Commons and Shauna Sadler from ORCID. I am also joined by Melroy Almeida, a well-known PIDS nerd from the Australian Access Federation, which also leads the Australian ORCID Consortium. Welcome to you all. We're excited that you're here, and I'm looking forward to hearing about your working group activities. I'm going to turn the mic over to Shauna Sadler now, who is our moderator today.
Hello, everyone. I'm Shauna Sadler with ORCID. Natasha and Melroy, thank you for joining me here today to talk about the National PIDS Strategies Working Group.
Hi, Shauna. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Hello, Shauna. Thank you for having me on the podcast too. It's great to talk to you again. And it's always great being here with Natasha.
Aw, thanks for coming, you guys. We really appreciate it. So Natasha, you are one of the founders of the group. Can you tell us what inspired the creation of the National PID Strategies Working Group?
Yeah, sure. So let's start with the persistent identifiers themselves and the type of problem that they're trying to solve. So if you're looking for something on the internet and you click on that link and it brings up a page not found 404 error, you know, it's very frustrating. And if you're shopping for shoes, you'll probably get annoyed and go and have look somewhere else for that thing that you're looking for. But in the context of research, it's a disastrous thing to happen because it can potentially call into question the quality of the research. For example, if your research is based on a certain study or a certain data set and you click on that link and it's not found, then how do you verify that that research is actually true and correct and based on that research? So there is a need to create a persistent identifier so that you can always find the resource that you're looking for in research, or at least you can always find a page of information about that research and preferably, you know, a link to the research survey or the data that the persistent identifier points to. However, there are some issues around persistent identifiers in that, you know, the more people are able to use them, you know, the greater adoption we have, the greater benefits that we see in identifying research, because persistent identifiers also collect metadata, which gives context to the research objects that they describe or the researchers. For example, I think ORCID is probably the persistent identifier that most people are familiar with. And that solves a problem of uniquely identifying, giving a number, a unique persistent identifier that identifies a researcher and is able to link them with the correct work so that they're attributed to the research that they do. So these things are very important in the ecosystem. They're also clearly identified in the FAIR data principles as being really a backbone of enabling FAIR research. So the National PID Strategies Working Group came about in Research Data Alliance. We do have a PID interest group, and the National PID Strategies Working Group is a bit of a spin-off of that PID interest group. And the idea around that is that there's actually a lot of different persistent identifiers for a lot of different objects and entities in research. So there are PIDs for research organizations, there are PIDs for researchers, there are PIDs for grants, and it could be a bit of a confusing landscape. And I've done a talk before where myself and my co-presenters compared it to the Cambrian period, where there's like this explosion of life on Earth. And, you know, you get the sort of big guys and you get like the niche dwellers, and it can be hard to navigate as a researcher. And also, if you're going to invest in persistent identifiers, you know, it's actually best done if you do it as a collective, as a group, and you say, as a country, we're going to invest in some of these key persistent identifiers to create the infrastructure we need to better support fair research. The thing is, though, that these sort of strategies at a national scale are really just emerging, and we need a way to communicate with the different countries who are trying to create a national PID strategy and look at, some of the common elements between these strategies, what's working, what's not working, and create a group that can facilitate that kind of discussion.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, it's really exciting what's happening right now, isn't it? So just as a follow-up question, what is the approach the working group is taking to support the development of national PID strategies, and what have they discovered so far?
Well, thanks for the question, Shauna. So we are collecting a number of different case studies, and we have collected case studies, 9 so far, and they're quite diverse. So we have one from Colombia, from the United States, from the UK, from Canada, Finland, Korea, Australia, the Netherlands, and I assume we will get more. I hope that we will get more of these as we go along. So one of the common elements is that no one really has a sort of national PID strategy. So these are all emerging approaches, I would say. And so we're very much, one of the difficulties for us is that we are capturing a point in time development of a national PID strategy. And so maybe a year down the track, it looks a little bit different. However, it's still a good time to be doing this, because as these things are emerging, we are seeing very common elements between them. So one of the people who's driven the creation of this group is Chris Brown from JISC in the UK. And I would say they're reasonably advanced in their national PID approach, because they invested in a PID cost-benefit analysis, which was conducted by More Brains Cooperative, and that found that the UK research sector could save up to £5.67 million over a 5-year period from investment in 5 priority PID areas. And that kind of lays the basis for the reasons why you would have a national PID approach, and then looks at how they're now looking at how you might implement that. So, for example, we're seeing different consortiums that there might be at a national scale. So there might be a national ORCID consortium there, and in parallel to that, a national DOI consortium. And the question is, if you're one research institution, you're paying an ORCID consortium membership, you're paying a DOI consortium membership, how can we consolidate these things? Should we have one overarching UK PID consortium is the type of questions that they are considering there. So these are all interesting questions. And what we're doing in comparing where people are at, some of the common elements that we've found so far is that, there needs to be a driving group. So a group or organization that says, we want a national approach, we're going to try and make it happen. And that those drivers kind of are around fair and open research, so PIDs to support fair and open research, better tracking of research outcomes and impact, trying to lower the cost and barriers to PID adoption and reduce administrative burden, because it's not just the cost savings, it's also the savings of time for researchers and administrators. So in Australia, they found that the rekeying of metadata, about 50% of the time, that's actually done by the researchers themselves. And the other 50% of the time, it's actually done by administrators. And we know from the Australian ORCID Consortium, we have a case study there where one of the professors is saying that he has saved about 4 days in grant applications because the Australian Research Council has invested in the ORCID identifiers. So instead of asking him for the same information all the time and him having to re-enter it, he just pops his ORCID in and they pull those research works out of his ORCID. So there's some really good motivations for setting these strategies up, and some common elements are around having that key driving group, identifying stakeholders and engaging them, having a roadmap to drive the way forward, and a sort of coordinating group that's going to help implement that strategy.
Oh, that's really interesting. So maybe just circling back to the National PIDs working group, what do you think the expected outcomes of that working group will be? And then I want to follow that up with a question, because you talked about the common elements from the different national strategies that what we're hearing, do you think any of the countries will work together to maybe come up with a common or possibly even a standard PIT approach across multiple countries?
You know, Shauna, I love the idea of cooperation and reusing as much of the work of other people as possible. And anything that we can do to jointly coordinate is good. However, I do think that, you know, there are particular sort of use cases in different countries, and especially if something is, say, driven by a federal government, you know, it may be more likely that it is applicable to within country rather than across countries, because it may be subject to the funding conditions of that government department. I certainly would like to see us. So, one of the goals of this working group is to develop, we were tasked with developing a guide to so that others can pick it up and say, I want to develop a national PIT strategy. How can I do that? You know, and a sort of magic formula. But I personally, through looking at these case studies, do think that's going to be enormously challenging because we don't have an example to say, here's someone who's done it. And all these things are evolving. So I feel like now is a really good time for people to be involved in this because it's a very dynamic conversation. And there are such different approaches. For example, in Canada, you know, and you would know this, Shauna, there's been this approach here of developing a roadmap to a roadmap. So it's like, how do we even get to the PIDs, the National PIDs roadmap? We need a roadmap to be able to get to the roadmap. And everyone's trying to think this through at the moment. It's an interesting time.
It's true. It's a wonderful time to be part of this group. I'm enjoying my time with the group as well. Melroy, I'm going to turn it over to you now. So this working group is focused on national PID strategies. Maybe let's just start from the beginning. Can you explain to the audience what a PID is and why you say that, like puppies, PIDs are not just for Christmas?
Thank you very much for that. At its simplest, right, PID stands for Persistent Identifier, and PID can be defined as a long-lasting reference to an object. Now, that object could be a researcher, it could be a manuscript, it could be a sample, organization, web page, document, whatever you want. So as long as that identifier references the object and it's long-lasting, you can call it a persistent identifier. Now, as for the slogan, like puppies, PIDs are not just for Christmas, that was made famous 40 years ago, where they said puppies are for life, not just for Christmas, because what they found out was that during Christmas, everyone would gift a lot of pets around. But then once Christmas was over, once the vacation period was over, they would return it back to animal shelters. So the slogan was, they are for life. It's not just over the festive season. And it's the same thing with persistent identifiers. It is not just a one-time thing. It is there for the life of the research object that they identify, which is why we need to care for them. We need to use them regularly every time we do research. For example, as a researcher, if you have an ORCID ID, every time you submit a manuscript to a journal, you would want to use your ORCID ID. If you're applying for grants, you want to use your ORCID ID. If you're using data sets and you're depositing it in a repository, you still want to use your ORCID ID as part of it. So the more you use it, the better it becomes for everyone else within the sector.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. So, thinking about Australia, what are the key PIDs that are used in the Australian research sector?
Within the Australian research sector, we've got ORCID IDs, which are for people. Then there is Crossref DOIs, which is used for publications, manuscripts, as well as recently they've started using it for grants as well. Then there is DataCite DOIs that they use for data sets. And then there is ROAR ID for organizations. And last but definitely not least, is a new and exciting PID on the block, that is RAID, also known as Research Activity Identifier, and that is used for research projects, which I think is quite cool.
I agree. I'm really looking forward to seeing more RAID IDs in the data schemas coming up soon. All right, Natasha, I'm going to turn it back to you now. Can you tell us about the current features of the Australian National Approach to PIDS?
Yeah, sure. But before that, I'll just mention that the PIDS nerd's favorite song is Beyoncé's If You Liked It, Then You Should Have Put a PID on It. So,
I agree, and I can see a dance to go with it too.
Yeah, exactly. You can. All the listeners can imagine us dancing away now. I won't make Melroy sing it, I promise. the reason I say we have a national approach to PIDS rather than a strategy is that we haven't got a formally agreed upon approach, you know, within the people who would most be using and adopting PIDS. So say the universities, the research institutions. We certainly have that on the level of ORCID, and we have national infrastructure for PIDS available through the Australian Research Data Commons. But it's not sort of like we all got in a room and said, let's use these PIDS, you know, and that's where we want to be able to get to. So I think what we do have that perhaps other countries don't have is we have a national research infrastructure roadmap, and it comes out around every 5 years. So we just had one come out for 2021. It actually came out in 2022. But in the 2021 roadmap, that talks about supporting Australian researchers to produce world-class research through the development of world-class research infrastructure and facilities. And so that roadmap enables the Australia, or it is the roadmap by which the Australian government is funding what we call the NCRIS program, the National Collaborative Research Infrastructure Strategy. And there are over 20 research infrastructure institutions, facilities that are set up through that program. And Australian Research Data Commons, ARDC, is one of those. And because we are one of the drivers of FAIR at a national level, we see PIDS as really key research infrastructure. And so we have invested heavily in providing that infrastructure free of charge to the Australian research sector. And because our main focus is data, the PIDs that we choose are really focused around the data sort of side of things. So we are the Australian DOI consortium lead, et cetera. You know, we offer the RAID for research projects, things like that. So data is best discovered in context. So we know that, which is why we are also really critical in setting up the Australian ORCID consortium, because that's very important to be able to link data to researchers and to be able to link them to the organizations and the researchers and the organizations that are part of and things like that. So I think that one of the things that we have got is strategic leadership in the PID space. And I think it's not just Australian Research Data Commons and Australian Access Federation, but we actually have set up, it's through the peak bodies of the, or the driving governance bodies of the Australian ORCID Consortium and a related group called the Australian ORCID Advisory Group, which I'm a chair of. And that has representatives of all of our sort of, you know, major peak bodies. So it has CORDIT, who's the Australian University Directors of IT. It has CORE, which is the Council of Australian University Librarians. You know, it has ARMS, the Australasian Research Management Society. And it also has the Australian Research Council and the National Health and Medical Research Council, et cetera. So we have a really engaged, you know, group of people who is looking at ORCID and also other PIDs, you know, because I guess if you can see the value of ORCID, you look at, well, it's actually, you know, these PID things are pretty cool. They're pretty useful. Look at that saving of 4 days of time for a researcher. Plus you improve the accuracy of the information that you have in your systems. You know, you've got machine to machine exchange instead of people typing in stuff, things like that. So we want to really maximize that investment. And I think what we have done is ARDC and AAF have invested in a similar study to the one conducted in the UK. So we have contracted Moorebrains Cooperative, who did the UK PID cost benefit analysis, to do a similar study in Australia. And unfortunately, we're just a few days early, I think, from being able to share the results of that. But I can see that the savings are massive from in deciding to invest as a country in a number of key and critical PIDs for Australian research. And I think that will give us the base of evidence that we need to say, you know, this is why we should invest in PIDs, and this is why we should have a national approach to it. So I feel like that will help to get the attention of the Australian research sector more broadly than just the groups involved in ORCID. And we can then use that as a catalyst to have a conversation at a national level and to really look at what would that national strategy look like. So I would also mention that one of the other key features is that, you know, research is increasingly international, and it's the same with PIDs. You know, they have to be solved at an international level. You know, so ARDC partners with international PID providers, you know, to be able to provide that service. So such as, you know, DataCite, IGSN, you know, the Handle Service, Crossref, others at a national level. And that's very important to us, is to be part of the international PID landscape. And we also have an overarching policy at the ARDC around PIDs, which clearly articulates the use case for PIDs, why we provide them, and why that international collaboration is really important. So I think that's another key feature of some of the national PID strategies, is to have a policy, you know, that outlines why you need these things, why it's important to be able to do that, having that evidence base together. The other thing, I'm sorry, I'm giving a bit of a long answer here, is also to support best practice, you know, in the adoption of PIDs. And so we also have, ARDC also facilitates community of practice for DOIs. And we reached out to the National Library of New Zealand, who run the New Zealand Consortium. So we have an Australasian, or well, really it's Australia-New Zealand community of practice, so that our members can really make use of, and that's focused around the DataCite DOIs. So we do it in partnership with DataCite to try and foster that. And we also have one around instruments, which is an emerging area for us. How do we better identify research instruments? And that has a crossover to another group in Research Data Alliance called the PIDINST, that's looking at a schema, metadata schema, for best describing research instruments, and a PID for identifying them. So our national model of community of practice has a really clear link into the International Research Data Alliance, where we're looking at, where we provided some Australian use cases for the PIDINST at the international RDA level, and we bring the learnings of the PIDINST into the Australian community of practice as well. And I think that's a very good model for that, really helps our PID adoption, because it's not just about, I've got a PID and that's it. You want to use them, you know, and this is about using them and getting the benefits of it by using them well.
That's right. That's absolutely. And not just researchers using them, but also, you know, research administrators, when they're developing their systems, making sure that they're embracing all that PIDs have to offer, and really linking them to the policies that you mentioned, making sure, you know, you have these policies, and do you have the data to be able to meet the needs of these policies moving forward? So, no, you're right. It's very exciting. But you mentioned stakeholders, which are, of course, incredibly important when you're planning. And Melra, I'm going to throw this one over to you. So you're with the Australian Access Federation, which is one of the key stakeholders in Australia in the PID landscape. And you also lead Australia's ORCID Consortium. So I just want to ask you, what have the benefits been of a national approach to ORCID? And what has this national approach to a PID brought to the Australian research community?
Thanks for that, Shauna. Now, you know that, as Natasha mentioned, PIDs need to be used by everyone so that everyone gets the value out of it. So with a national approach to ORCID, what that has allowed us as a country to do and as a community is to share and work towards a common vision. Now, Natasha has mentioned the governance groups that we have for the ORCID Consortium. And as a community, our vision for 2023 was for ORCID to be the preeminent and trusted identifier for linking and reporting research information in Australia. Now, research itself is quite international, but what we feel is that by taking a national approach, we can work on common issues identified by the Australian research sector, and then as a community, optimize our efforts. Because personally, I'm a big believer in not reinventing the wheel. I mean, the wheel's already there. We can try and make it better, not just try and invent another wheel. So within the Australian Orchid Consortium, what we do is we have our members share with each other communication and outreach strategies that worked for them. Then if they've had issues with technical integrations, they share it with each other and try and brainstorm a way around it, as well as do's and don'ts of what's worked, what hasn't worked, and how they can go about integrating the systems with Orchid.
Could I just chime in there and mention that in terms of the international links as well from the Australian Orchid Consortium, we're very fortunate that Linda O'Brien is the chair of the International Orchid Board, and that is a wonderful link into, you know, the Australian Orchid Consortium, because we have a direct line of communication there with what's going on in Orchid internationally. On the governance groups, you know, we're really grateful that we get to talk to Chris Shillam and, you know, Shauna and other people at Orchid do come and talk to the governance groups. And I think that's an important link to know what is happening with Orchid internationally, so that we can implement best practice in Australia and let our members know, you know, what's coming up.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, the more participation, the more, you know, conversations, you open channels for communication, you know, the partnering, and then there's the mutual benefits of, you know, helping each other out with all of our different mandates. So it's definitely a mutually beneficial relationship. And I think it's really helping the research community move forward when we all work together to help each other with our own mandates. It's just fantastic. So Natasha, Australia is very strong. And I know you've spoken about how strong the UK is, but I think Australia, you guys are really doing a wonderful job, particularly in the planning, the stakeholder engagement. And you've talked about the approach, the Australian national approach to PIDs, but can you tell us about why Australia is considering developing a formal national PID policy?
Yeah, I think we want to be able to maximize the return on our investment in PIDs. And the reason for that is, of course, that we want to see more fair research. You know, we want to see more research out there in the wild, more so that researchers can build on the research that has come before them. You know, we can have new innovative research. And the only way we can do that if that research is discoverable, you know, if it's findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable. You know, that's really important. It's certainly very important to me, and it's important to my organization as well. And I know a lot of your listeners will have, you know, an investment in FAIR and a commitment to trying to enable that to happen. So that's quite important to us. And it turns out, just because you offer a range of persistent identifier services, even free of charge, that doesn't mean that you have the massive uptake that you would like to see. You know, people, it does take effort, even though we offer them free of charge as AIDC. You know, at a research institution, you still have to be able to take either the time to enter a PID, you know, to create a PID manually, or you need to integrate the API into your repository or research systems, you know, and that takes time and effort. And, you know, you're only going to do that if you really see the benefits of it. And if it's a confusing landscape where I don't know which PID should be used here, you know, or I'm not really set up for that, you know, that's, you know, what we actually really would benefit from is an evidence base that says this is why we need to do this, which is why we've invested in the cost benefit, and then an actual approach that enables people to do that as low a barrier as possible. You know, we want researchers to be able to get this when they need it, and that means that, in my view, you know, the infrastructure providers, the repositories, the institutions, you know, the facilities, they need to be able to integrate with the right kind of PIDs that are going to give us the right benefits, you know. And it doesn't mean that you can't use other PIDs, because some PIDs, those niche ones, they're actually really valuable, and people can keep using those. And I think a national strategy should not preclude use of other PIDs, especially as it is an evolving landscape. But it's more sort of saying, you know, if we agree that these are the most important, we can actually get the benefits of the savings and of time and the improvements in accuracy and quality if we invest in those as a country and we take that national approach. So yeah, I think it's also about, I've sort of mentioned reducing the administrative burden on researchers and improving the quality of the research that's available internationally. So not just to Australian researchers, but obviously the research that they do will also be available internationally as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And for everyone who's listening to the podcast, and if you'd like to get involved with RDA's National PID Strategies Working Group, please make your way to RDA's website, search for our webpage, and then on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a button to join the group. So we're looking forward to having more participation. And please get in touch with us if you have any questions about RDA's National PID Strategies Working Group. Stephanie, I'll hand it back over to you now.
Thank you, Shauna, for moderating this podcast today, and Natasha and Melroy for the great conversation and for sharing your valuable insight and experience. We certainly do recognize and thank all of you for the enormous contributions and commitment you have given to this RDA community. Thanks to the listeners for joining our podcast, and please visit the RDA website at rd-alliance.org to join the community. Thanks for listening.
The Data Streams podcast series is hosted by the Research Data Alliance U.S. region and funded by the U.S. National Science Foundation. Upbeat Theme Loop, created by Mirth Nirona, is used under a Creative Commons license. For more information about the group or outputs discussed on today's podcast, or to listen to other episodes, find us at rd-alliance.org/podcast or on the Research Data Alliance's YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.